This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Now, Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome. It's been a while since we've had to tackle this ongoing and devastating problem of fatalities on our roads, especially pedestrian deaths. Yesterday, a 71-year-old woman was struck and killed after getting off a TTC bus at Eglinton Avenue East in Midland. Witnesses say she slipped on the stairs getting off the bus and was then hit by both the bus and another vehicle. TTC spokesman Stuart Green said police were handling the investigation, and the Transit Authority was cooperating and also confirmed that a TTC vehicle was involved. In addition to that, a 70-year-old man is dead after a dump truck and a motorcycle collided at a busy intersection in Bloor West Village. Now, here's the thing. Older people, seniors, are most likely to die of their injuries in road conditions, and that is something the city's Vision Zero strategy is aiming to eliminate. We want to hear from you. I want to hear if you think that there's anything in the way things work that have to be changed. I mean, for instance, there are some people who say, Eva D this morning told me her mother feels that the buses pull away too quickly. Is that something you've noticed? I don't know. We don't know all the contributing factors in this case yet. Was there any problem with the stairs? But probably, I would guess, there are things that we can do to minimize the hazard. The numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. Joining me in studio right now, Sergeant Brett Moore, and on the line, we have the founder and chair of 880 Cities, Gil Penalosa. Gentlemen, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks.
Gil? So, Sergeant Moore, first of all, can you fill us in? Is there anything about this terrible case yesterday that I didn't cover?
Yeah, there was. I was at the scene along with some of the officers from traffic services, of course. And the information about the second car, I think, was a little bit, it got out there early. But we're just focusing right now on the bus and the interaction with this 70-year-old woman.
Okay, so I'm just trying to parse what you're saying without doing anything that will damage the case. But does that mean the second car, she might have already been dead when the second car hit her?
You know what, I think that we're not really, because I'm not directly investigating the collision, I think it's pretty safe to say, though, from what I've been speaking from the investigators, that the other vehicle that we're speaking about may not have a big role to play in this. I think right now we're looking at the interaction again between the TTC bus and the pedestrian woman.
Now, is it confirmed that she slipped on stairs getting off?
See, this is one of the difficulties, and this is 24 hours into it, so there is a lot, and I appreciate that folks are, you know, because of the sensitivity of what happened, both from the TTC incident and with the dump truck. That people want to know what happened. Is it preventable? Who's at fault? Is there charges? The difficulty is from our part of the business here in investigating these types of crimes is it takes a lot of time. And so we've got the coroner's office involved. We've got the TTC. We're looking at surveillance video. Witnesses are still coming forward. We're hoping to hear from some other folks. It's a busy area. So a lot of the details just aren't available, and it would be inappropriate to because there are witnesses that we hope to hear from out there, that if we say too much too early,
you might color influence what they say. By the way, you did use the word crimes. Was that kind of inadvertent?
No, they are. I call anytime somebody dies, it's a traffic crime, and it is. These aren't accidents. accidents, right? Nobody wakes up, though, with the intention to say, this is, you know, I'm going to get myself involved in a situation with my vehicle that's going to seriously injure or kill somebody. That just doesn't happen. But they are traffic crimes, and they are preventable for sure. And that's one of the things that we try to say on a regular basis.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're putting it that way. Gil, what do you have to say about this? You know, you have a vision for making cities great for people who are 8 and people who are 80. Is there anything you have to say about buses?
Yes. Well, I think that we need to make our cities safe, and we are not doing enough. First, I disagree that this is an accident. It's not an accident. Accidents is when there is nothing that could have been done about it. But the overwhelming majority of the injuries and people walking being killed, they could have been avoided. So we need to avoid those, and we are not doing enough. I think Vision Zero sounds nice. It's a cute term, but it's not good if it doesn't have budget, if it doesn't have money. The city came out with the plan of Vision Zero, and they said that in the next 10 years, we were going to reduce by 20% the people being killed in the streets. 20%. So it's like telling people...
They changed that. They said that at first.
And they changed it within 24 hours.
Yeah, well, there was a big outcry.
Except that they didn't put any additional money. So how can you go from a goal of 20% reduction to 100% without increasing the budget? And the budget really is ridiculous. We're putting $60 million over the next 10 years. That's $6 billion per year. $6 million in a city that has a budget of 12,000 millions. Our budget is $12 billion. So we need to do. Also, I'm very happy that you have someone from the police there, because I have never seen the police give a ticket to the car drivers that, for example, make turns. I work, for example, near Spadina and Queen. When the cars are making a left turn, they wait for the green light. And it seems like they forgot that when the light goes yellow, they must stop. No, the light goes yellow and they continue turning left. And by the time they get through the place where the pedestrians are crossing, it's already red. When it's yellow, they must stop.
I'm not sure that's not the way it's been explained to me by other police officers, Brett.
I think one of the things that we're really trying to forward is there is a lot of adversarial relationships between motorists, pedestrians, cyclists, and it doesn't really sort of further the agenda of road safety. It is a collective effort, and everybody has a role to play, and there's no questions that everybody that's listening and watching, and we've all got stories where we've seen a road user do something they shouldn't be doing, whether it's a blatant disregard for a light, a signal, something. Nobody's perfect, and so one of the things that I think that we need to work and focus on is the shared responsibility, building in time, doing the little things that we've all been taught as young people growing up, that you know, we live these busy lives now, and everybody's in a rush, it seems. So, that is a big factor. And to the issue, I guess, that Gil was talking about there, that the old adage is true. There's never a cop there when you need them. And so there's lots of work to be done. Road safety is a big part. It is a priority for the police service. But there are many other things as well.
Well,
so,
actually, I've had discussions with other police officers. I don't say, okay, there are a lot of places where a left turn is legal, but you can't make a left turn on a green or even on a yellow because the oncoming traffic won't let you. And I was told that it's okay for one or two cars to go when you can go.
Well, yeah. Each intersection, the signs are pretty clear. As long as we follow the signs, that's your best chance to have no confrontation or conflict with any motorists or road users. But really, what it comes down to, Libby, is we do have an issue. There's no question about it. But we're not unique here in Toronto as well. This is a North American global issue. Road deaths account for 1.25 million people globally every year. And so here in Toronto, I can tell you for the first time, the conversation is about road safety. People are more aware. There is funding. There is a Vision Zero. There is a road safety, very comprehensive road safety plan that has many supporters. And is it perfect? No. But I can tell you now that for the first time in my career, for a very long time, that there is a sort of a very collective effort with all city agencies that have public health, transportation services, the police services. There is effort. We've got a long way to go. There's no question. But I'd like to try to hopefully shift, and when I get the opportunity to talk about it, is to try to break down this adversarial relationship between the road users, because we find ourselves today. I walked here from the station. I was a pedestrian. I'll jump on the cruiser later on today to do something else. I'll be a motorist. They don't let me ride bicycles, but lots of my colleagues do. So,
Gil.
Yes.
Okay, I'd like you to please answer my question. So my question is, the question I asked you off the top related to this particular incident, and it doesn't have to do with budgets, but is there anything different that buses have to do in the way they conduct themselves? Buses are often in a hurry. They have to meet their schedules. Do they pull out too quickly? Is there anything like that that could be changed to make the road safer, in your opinion?
Yes, I think that both buses and streetcars need to go a little bit slower. I think I've seen many buses and streetcars also going across intersections on yellow and usually turning to red, so that has to become a top priority. Also, we need to create, when the streetcars drop you off, like when the streetcars stop, there should be, like even the school buses have an arm that comes out and says, stop. The streetcars, the old streetcars, they just have a sticker on the back of the streetcar. We have millions of tourists coming into Toronto, and many do not even know that they need to stop behind the streetcar. And it's only this sticker. The new streetcars, they have a light, but the old ones, they do not. And I've been asking the TTC that they should make it much more noticeable, because many cars, I think, they go through not because they want to, but it's because they don't know. Many of them are not from Toronto. Many of them might be tourists from Ontario, from other places. So, but they said, oh, no, because eventually we're going to get rid of the old street cars, so we don't want to invest in that. What? Are you going to tell this to someone that is hit by a car coming off a street car and say that in 10 years those are going to be phased out? So I think it is important, and with all due respect, this is not about one incident, Libby.
Yep.
Every day, every 3 hours and 20 minutes, a pedestrian is hit by a driver. Every 3 hours and 20 minutes, 365 days of the year. So this is not isolated. Of course, it sounds nice to be, oh, we need to be nice and polite. I agree with the sergeant. We are talking about it. Finally, we're talking about it, because maybe 20 years ago we were not talking about it as much, but we are still not doing. And when we have a pedestrian being hit by a car every 3 hours and 20 minutes and a cyclist every 7 hours and 20 minutes, it's very clear that we must act. We must do. This is not civilized. We have about 7 times as many pedestrians hit by cars than people in Sweden per 100,000 kilometers. So in proportion to the amount of cars, in the proportion of the kilometers, we are 7 times worse. So we learn what is it that they are doing that we are not doing. This is not a technical issue. This is not a financial issue. It's a political issue.
Okay, Gil, we're going to take some calls from our listeners now. We've got Sam in Brantford. Hi, Sam.
Hello, Libby. How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Pretty good. I have 4 very, very important questions and issues. And
okay.
The first one is, was the bus letting her off at the curb? Was she exiting at the rear door? If she was exiting at the rear door, there are 2 mirrors that look down the 2 steps. And if she fell down, this tells me that she was run over, not hit by the bus. I would like to have these questions answered, please.
I don't know if they can be answered right now, but we'll... Sergeant Moore?
Yep, for sure. So at the beginning, I had to say, I've got to watch what I say in terms of how much information we give out. Obviously, police, we've got to get it right. So I can't answer those questions directly. I won't. It would compromise the investigation. It would put the investigators in a bad spot. But I can tell you this. All those questions we're asking as well. And so our job as the investigators is to get it right the first time, and we to do as thorough of an investigation as we can. And so that is happening now. But it does take time. So your caller is correct. All those things are in play. The bus has cameras on it. We'll be reviewing those. There's witnesses on the buses, and we'll be looking at speaking to those folks as well. So there is an element of patience that has to be applied here to the callers, to the public. But we also know that people want answers as well. So we're as thorough as we can, as quick as we can. But those questions, the investigators, we've got commercial motor vehicle inspectors, we've got reconstruction officers, and we've got our criminal investigators. So they are very good at what they do. And I think we just got to give them a little bit of time to do their job.
Okay, let's go to Dorothy in Toronto.
Oh, hi. This is an issue that really bothers me with the seniors. I think seniors should only get off at the front doors next to the driver so the driver can watch you. That's what I do. I don't trust the middle doors because once you step off, if a car is coming, it's over for you. What are you going to do, especially when you have a cane and you only have really use of one leg? You can't even jump back up. You know, I really don't think there's too much respect for the pedestrians in Toronto. I think if you don't have a car or a limo or can afford cabs, I feel really sorry for the TTC drivers, especially, and the pedestrians, because...
I don't feel sorry for the drivers. I see a lot of drivers doing things that...
People in the cars don't care. They're really brazen. The speed limit should be put down because they don't care. They're in a hurry for wherever they're going, and if you get in their way, too bad.
Well, I think that's unfair for all drivers. Lowering the speed limits is something that certainly is on the horizon of 880 cities and other people who say lowering the speed limit to 30 would really resolve a lot of problems in the city.
Yeah, well, just on that point, funny enough, I had a conversation today, and I've got a list. The City of Toronto has actually made quite a number of improvements in lowering of speed limits. So that those have already happened. It's taking place as we speak. So there are dozens and dozens and literally thousands of signs that have been changed to lower the speed limit in Toronto just for these reasons. We know that lowering speed it raises the ability for people to, it allows drivers to react a bit quicker, and it lowers the level of injury when there is an interaction.
Okay, let's go to Diane in Dunville. Hi, Diane.
Hi there. How are you this morning?
Fine. How are you?
I'm working on being better.
Okay, good.
Yes, what I'm calling about is, congratulations, you have public transit support. Of course, in a small community, we have to rely on volunteers, which are fantastic organizations, but obviously they get overrun. And I think the general point here is I'm going to try to make is that seniors are, you know, they're vulnerable. A lot of times their vision's bad, their strength is going. And if their services aren't available, they do get on these places. They have to take transportation to get the necessities to stay in their own home. So, you know, that's something that also could be looked at, expanding those services so those people aren't in a situation that's going to compromise their lives.
Okay.
Yeah, no, for sure. And your caller is absolutely right. I was talking about there. We are fortunate in Toronto. We have a great transit system. And, you know, the transit operators don't have an easy job. There's no question about it. And I know they take their safety and their passenger safety serious as well. And I can tell you that they were there yesterday with us and completely assisting as far as they can. But to your caller's point, people, because of necessity, have to take transit, get around the communities to get to appointments, whatnot. And we do see seniors overrepresented.
And a lot of times, when they are going to those appointments, obviously they're going because they're not well.
Correct.
And that's a scenario that in Europe that's addressed in much more different ways than we do in this North American country. And, you know, that would alleviate a lot of the problems that happen because, as I said, you know, it's not that they want to get involved in this kind of scenario, but they're forced to go out. They've got to, in order to stay in their own homes, they have to get out there and do their thing.
Okay. Thank you very much for that.
Thanks.
Let's go to Jim in Pickering. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Good morning, Libby. Yeah, I did drive for TTC. I am retired. I did drive 31 years, and I did it all accident-free.
Great.
And I'm going to tell you is that we don't have long enough to really get to say what I want to say. But I'm glad that the officer had a talk with them and they told you how concerned they are with safety. Libby, I did hear you say about the schedules and the keep up. And you'd have to be there and do the job to understand the pressures and also People have to take their responsibility. Libby, I could have ran over many, many people that ran right in front of my bus. And I had people push a baby carriage in front of the bus. People will just, when they see a bus, they see nothing else. And Libby, these days, they're looking at their little screens. They got earbuds on, and they're just not aware. And so I don't believe that there are no accidents.
The
officer said there with you said there are no accidents.
No, and what I mean by that is, no, I sort of look and say kids have accidents and we forgive them for that and it's to be expected. These are, you know, for when it comes to an adult and a professional driver and folks navigating our city on bicycles and as pedestrians, we know that, to your point when you're saying people are sort of doing silly things and looking at their screens or running in front of your bus, but there's just as many drivers and other road users that are doing silly things as well. Everybody has examples and sees it every day.
But neither one is right.
No, but we know, and I say they're not accidents because they're preventable. And so when something's preventable, it's not an accident.
Yeah,
right?
somebody pushing a baby carriage in front of the bus, that's not an accident. They made a choice.
There's a contributing factor to the collision. And then,
well, Libby, the thing is, too, and the problem is I saw it years ago, and I saw as people, the population was aging. It took them longer to walk up the steps, to get off, and when they're not steady on their feet and things like that, and they fall. I mean, that's just unfortunate. And then one lady that called ahead of me said about the ones that use it with a cane and things like that. But these are all things that I was paid by the hour, and I would take all the time you want, and I did. Well, I didn't, but I managed it through defensive driving. But I think that there are circumstances which are changing, and they will preach the TTC. But I'll tell you something. And all the time I did it, and the people I know that are still there, it's a different story when you're there. It's let's keep this service going.
Well, yeah, that was the point that I'm trying to make. Jim, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Okay, let's go to Frank in Toronto.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I've been driving for many years, dump truck. What I really like is the number countdown on the light. It is very effective, and then you find some lights where they change so fast that you can't even react. Like I think they got to go to that kind of system for the lights that the other guy was commenting on.
The countdown for the lights. Well, thanks for your call there. Your line's a bit bad. They're effective if people pay attention to them, which doesn't always happen either.
That is one in the office that I work in. That is one of the things that we struggle with. And it's folks. They do work well when they're followed and people sort of follow understand how they work. When the light cycles and the countdown starts. That if you had started as a pedestrian crossing the road and you entered on when with the walking signal comes on, and partway through that signal should change to that countdown timer. That basically means let's get going and finish how long ever it takes to finish your crossing. But what it means to the folks that haven't yet started is means that's not for you. Don't start crossing the road and enter the intersection. There is a misconception. We're working on some different messaging. We've got a pedestrian campaign coming up this fall, as we always do, and that will be part of our messaging out to the public as well, just to make them understand how to use the infrastructure that's out there. Some people love them, and some people there's a complete other side to that. Some people just don't like them as well. So when they're followed and they're used, they work pretty well.
I have to say, guilty as charged. Mm-hmm. I know you're not supposed to start, but I can make it across the street in 3 seconds. So
we have to say, like, sometimes, what's your number, right? And that's what. So for you, three. In some intersections, three is your number, and I can make it, but. It's one of those things I don't think is going away. Many, many, many of the intersections have those countdown timers.
Okay, that's all the time we have for this segment. Anything else you want to say there?
No, listen, yesterday with the two fatalities, they are tragedies. There's no question about it. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says this is what they imagined getting involved in. But I know there is a thirst, and I'm getting calls from media and from the public and about what's going on and what happened. happened. I want to know. We need a bit of time after these things occur. We have to let the things settle down. We have to allow for us to do our work. So road safety is a shared responsibility. There's no question about it. If people don't know about Vision Zero and what the city is getting is involved in with the road safety plan, I'm going to encourage them to jump online and get them do a little bit of reading about that as well. So thanks for the opportunity to say a few words.
Okay. Well, thank you. Let's not let this go. When there are some answers, we will talk to you again. Thanks to Sergeant Brett Moore and to Gil Penulosa of 880 Cities.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.